Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, August the 15th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And our top story today is that a pilot has been taken to hospital after crashing near to an airport in Kent. A four-seater Piper PA28 came down in Woodland on Rochester Road between the Bridgewood roundabout and Laker Road in Medway yesterday afternoon. The aircraft had been heading to Rochester Airport when it came down just before 12:30. Well, reporter Cara Simmons was on the scene shortly afterwards.
Two police cars are currently at the scene. They've been letting traffic go through in drips and drabs, and there's a tree surgeon that has been cutting away part of the hedge where a piece of machinery or plane of some sort can be seen inside. There aren't too many delays in the area. It's just maybe five minute delays either end of the road as drivers wait to be let through.
We're told the pilot was the only person on board the aircraft and was taken to hospital as a precaution. The plane had taken off from Lyd Airport earlier in the day and was recovered shortly after 5 p.m. And you can see pictures of that recovery operation by heading to the story at Kent Online. The incident has been reported to the Air Accidents Investigation Branch.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. And a bus driver accused of killing a pedestrian in Folkestone is expected to argue it was a mechanical problem which caused a fatal crash. Paul Kirby pleaded not guilty to causing death by dangerous driving after his bus collided with a shelter on Middleborough Square in 2022. The 65-year-old, who lives in Northern Moor in Manchester, has been released on bail until his trial begins. If you follow Kent Online on socials, you can see pictures of two men police are hunting following reports of an assault in Canterbury. Officers were called to the Spitfire ground on Old Dover Road on July the 19th. One man had to be taken to hospital but has since been released. Investigators also want to speak to any witnesses. A motorcyclist is still in a serious condition in hospital more than 2 weeks after a crash on the A2 near Dartford. The bike he was riding collided with a car on the coastbound carriageway near the M25 junction on July the 28th. Investigators are keen to speak to anyone with dash cam footage. Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. Three parking bays in a Kent seaside town have gone up for sale for £150,000. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this. And Lucy, that's what you could spend on a house.
Yes, in fact, we found a four-bed property in Dover that costs £10,000 less than the parking spaces. But if you live in Whitstable or have ever visited, you'll probably understand why there's quite some much interest. The town has become incredibly busy and some residents have told us they sometimes have to leave their cars a mile away.
And where are these spaces, Lucy?
Well, they're on land at Island Wall, which is very close to the seafront, and we've been told they'll probably be snapped up. Dan lives in Whitstable and he told our reporter that £50,000 for a space where parking is often impossible kind of makes sense. If you're a regular reader of Kent Online, you've probably seen stories we've run before on the popularity of Whitstable. It's become a desired location to live, but has also seen a boom in Airbnbs with more than 500 listed.
And what about those who struggle to park in the town already?
Well, some locals have told us they've taken to watching out of their windows to see if they can quickly grab a space. Others have forked out more than £850 a year for a permit to use a council car park.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been arrested following reports of an indecent exposure in Folkestone. Police were called to the Tontine Street area just before 10 p.m. on Monday to reports of someone acting inappropriately. The 27-year-old suspect was wanted on recall and is being transferred to prison while inquiries continue. A Hawkhurst man has been charged with a number of offences, including carrying out robberies at knife point and stealing a car. The 21-year-old is accused of threatening to stab his teenage victims with a machete while carrying out thefts in Cranbrook and Staplehurst earlier this month. He's also accused of failing to return a car after taking it for a test drive in July. He's in custody until a court appearance next month. Two men have been arrested after four stolen vehicles were recovered near Sevenoaks. Officers used a tracking device to find the two Mercedes and two BMWs at the Tower Industrial Estate in Rootham on Monday. The suspects are in custody ahead of a court appearance. And business owners in Dartford are concerned 24 weeks of roadworks will have a negative impact on their trade. They'll be taking place at the West Hill and Spittle Street junction as part of a multi-million pound regeneration scheme in the town, but some fear it'll put people off visiting the area. The council say they've been working hard to keep businesses informed and will continue to give updates.
Kent Online reports.
Now, it's been a huge day for thousands of sixth form students across Kent who are receiving their A-level results. For some, it's the end of months of exam stress, which has seen many students worry about the impact results will have on their futures. Well, our colleagues from KMTV have been along to the Thomas Aveling School in Rochester to chat to some of those getting that all-important envelope and receiving their results.
I got a distinction merit in double business and I got a D in media.
I got a distinction merit in sport and a merit in business. I'm going into full-time employment, so I'm applying for every single job I can find and hopefully something in a estate agency.
Do you think there's too much pressure on A-level results?
I think there is a bit. I think it depends on the person. I mean, personally, I didn't feel too much pressure, but I mean, a lot of people I know felt a lot of pressure towards it, and during the exams and this whole time waiting, I think they felt a lot of pressure and didn't enjoy that pressure and made their life a bit horrible.
I mean, I didn't feel any pressure really. I never felt the pressure because I'd done BTECs and I knew what I'm good at, and that was the two subjects I chose. So I knew what I was getting before I even come here, and since then I've been all right.
I'm feeling happy that I got into university, my first choice, but I'm feeling a little bit disappointed about the grades I got, but at the end of the day I still got in, so good news overall. I got an A in politics, an A in law and a B in history. I found that I've put a lot of pressure on myself because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I hold myself to quite a high standard. In terms of teachers, I think the most pressure you get is just what they believe you can achieve. If they see you're capable of getting a certain grade, they want to push you to get that. But it's not so much like this toxic, you know, you have to get this, otherwise you're a complete failure in life and like have no worth.
I was relieved once I opened my results, so I was, yeah, very good, I think. So I've got a distinction star distinction in my business A level. I've got a merit overall in my IT, and then I got a C in my extensive project. It's the pressure of wanting to do well, I think, because you think going to university, if you do your apprenticeship, it's the pressure that you put on yourself, but the school, thankfully, were able to sort of relieve all of that. So from the school, no, but it's more the pressure you put on yourself. It's like, am I going to get in? Am I going to do well? Because if not, then I don't know what I was going to do afterwards. So I was happy that the pressure would build up was okay to, like, get in, if that makes sense. Like, it was relieved once I actually got my results.
Some students today may not have got what they're after. Well, we've been chatting to Lucy Dale, who's a Childline volunteer.
Children are approaching us with a wide variety of things that they are anxious about. And what's really important here is that children and young people and their parents have a sense that Childline is there to support and provide a listening ear for people if they are worried about their exam results. And really no worry is too small for us to be interested in listening to them about. What we do find is that when we're asking children about the origins of why they're worried about their exam results, actually what they're talking about is the sense that it's going to be the main factor in relaying their success in future life. And they're also worried about being compared to their peers. So that's what they're coming to us and talking about much more than it being imposed from the teachers. It's coming from within and from comparison with their peers. The impact of social media that we're seeing at Childline is really where people are experiencing that sense of comparison about their other people. And what Childline want to encourage young people to be thinking about is that their exam success is only really one small part of what makes a person be successful overall. So yeah, that we're wanting children to know that everybody's different, and exams are only a small part of that. It's an interesting question, though, isn't it? You know, should exams be changed? I think what is important is that at Childline, we want to acknowledge that the vast majority of young people put a lot of effort into their exams. And then when they get their results, if they don't see that they're getting the results that they wanted, we really want to encourage people to think about the fact that there's so many other entryways. There's so many different alternatives that are out there. And if you're a parent of somebody who's going through the exams and getting their results in the next couple of weeks and days, you know, really encourage you to support them by getting them to write down lists of pros and cons of what are some of the different kind of pathways that they could go down now that they've ended up getting results that were different from what they wanted. And of course, if young people and children are finding it difficult to talk to parents, really the message and what's important from a Childline perspective is that we're here to talk and to listen. If they want to, they can obviously contact us on 0800 1111 or at childline.org.uk, and we're there to talk and listen, as are career advisors, teachers, other carers and people in their networks.
Clearing is very much an option for students today, and operations are well underway at universities and colleges across the county following the release of those results earlier today. It's where students can enrol in courses that still have places available if they want to. Kate has been speaking to Professor Georgina Ransley-Demora. She's acting Vice Chancellor at the University of Kent.
For other students, they might be looking at other courses, other universities. Their circumstances may have changed. They might be thinking about living closer to home or further away. All sorts of things will come into that choice. And the great opportunity that there is with clearing is not only is it for students who haven't necessarily got the grades that they expected, it's also for students who may not have even applied at this point and might think, actually, university is for me and I would like to explore the options. And more we're seeing students now come direct to clearing, which is great to see.
For those who might not be aware of what clearing is.
So clearing is a process, it starts at the beginning of July actually, but tends to be the main focus, of course, on A-level and T-level results day, where students will be have access to the course places that are still available at universities. So a number of universities will still have places on courses, and those are opened up through what's called clearing. And there's opportunities there to phone those universities, to look around. Many of universities will have visit days, so you can also visit the campus, have a look on the website, speak to academics and professional service colleagues at those universities, understand the options that are available. And clearing is the route that you would go through from this point to access a university place that's still available. But of course, there's lots of people there willing to help you and waiting there to help you. So everyone on the phones is absolutely there, trained, ready to support students through that journey, understanding what their options are and what options might be available for them at that particular university. There's also really good support from other organisations as well, like UCAS. At the University of Kent, we'll be looking forward to welcoming all our students in September, whether they've come through the main cycle or whether they join us through the clearing process. And over the next few days and weeks, we'll be here to support that clearing process. We'll have people on the phones, a whole team of hotline operators there ready to support students with their next steps, regardless of what the grades are, whether it's better than you thought, not what you expected, or if you haven't applied before. We're also guaranteeing accommodation for anybody who comes to us through clearing before Sunday the 18th. So one less thing to worry about.
Whatever your results today, huge congratulations, and we do wish you all the very best for your future.
Kent Online News.
A woman's been convicted of illegally breeding dogs at her home in Sittingbourne. Elsbieta Tarnowska was investigated by the council after neighbours complained about noisy barking on Diligent Drive. She's been found guilty of breeding three or more litters of German Shepherd puppies within a year, despite not having a licence. She'll be sentenced next month. Plans for hundreds of new homes, which would double the population of a Kent village, are expected to be given the go-ahead. Persimmon wants to build 800 properties in Hursden near Canterbury. If approved, it'll cover the size of around 87 football pitches, which is currently farmland. Meantime, plans have been submitted to turn an historic cinema in Deal into a new movie theatre. Developers want to build a two-screen picture house that replicates the beachfront facade of the existing building. The site has been empty since 2008. And there are calls for more variety in a Kent town after it was confirmed another coffee shop is going to open on the High Street. Esquires in Paddock Wood joins the likes of Costa, Woody's Cafe, The Village Cafe, The Snack Shack, Greg's, Barsley's Cafe and Baby Chino. Well, some residents have suggested a restaurant, pharmacy or even a bookshop would have brought more diversity, but others argue it's better than having an empty store there. You can let us know what you think by commenting on the story or leaving a message on our socials. A new town centre gardens has opened in Medway. The paddock in Chatham has been brought back into use thanks to £2.8 million of funding from the government's Future High Streets Fund. The space is quite near the Brook Theatre in the town and not far from the new waterfront development. Council leader Vince Maple has been speaking to local Democracy reporter Robert Boddy.
This has been a public space for well over 100 years, back to Edwardian times. But I think it's fair to say, and most people would say, that prior to this project being completed, it was quite run down. And actually people really valued it. You know, people certainly valued the historic trees, which we've been managed to keep as part of this project. So brought this forward, and I think people will come and see it, really enjoy a very new, modern public space, but with a real kind of push back to history as well. It's been a real great partnership working between the architects, those who've delivered it, of course Medway Development Company as well. So I'm really proud of that kind of one Medway approach in delivering a project of this nature.
You mentioned there obviously it's a new space obviously, but also it's harkening back to that heritage of Medway and specifically Chatham. Could you talk about some of the elements that represent that?
So at the heart of this, and we took a difficult decision as a new administration, there was originally planned a water feature, but actually a water feature, as you may be aware, costs quite a lot to maintain and keep up and running, and people know our financial situation. So we took that decision to say actually we'll take a different approach. So now at the heart of this scheme, we've got a kind of 19th century map of, you know, Chatham and the wider area, and of course that harks back to when this space was originally created. So actually people will feel that kind of link back to the past, but very much in a modern setting, you know, with a wide variety of different planting, a lot of native planting, but some non-native, which will mean that there's always good plants here. And of course, the kind of backdrop of the historic trees, which again, on the whole, have been kept here. We've planted some additional new trees, which of course look a bit small at the moment, but through time they will flourish as well.
When sort of project was under development, what were the real key things that you wanted it to do for the people of Chatham?
So absolutely from our political perspective, and I recognise this project started before last May, but from our perspective we've always supported this. We wanted this to come forward and succeed. Certainly, obviously, one of our pledges in last year's election was opening up green spaces, making it more accessible. I think when people see it for the first time, one of the things they'll note is the previous paddock was quite inaccessible. So those with mobility issues will find this space a much more welcoming space. So for me, it's about making sure it's truly open for everybody. It's got multi-uses. So already I've heard conversations around the fantastic Super Saturday, which is coming at the end of the month. That will be making use of this space. The Chatham Carnival as well next year will undoubtedly make use of it. So it will be a space for those big events, a space for sometimes people to sit and reflect. There's, you know, little corners as well, which I think people will use it for 100 different reasons. And actually for me, that's a great example of a really positive piece of public realm that, you know, whatever your use, whatever you want it for, it's there for you.
And you can see pictures of what it looks like by clicking on the Medway pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
A Sheerness couple whose son was stillborn are setting up a foundation in his name to support other bereaved parents. Christina and Lee Pepper had raised concerns about baby Theo during the pregnancy and feel he would be alive today if they'd been seen by medics sooner. Well, a hospital investigation found a midwife didn't escalate the issue because staff were busy. Theo's foundation will continue to raise awareness of baby loss and call for a higher level of care. A 10-foot sinkhole in Maidstone has now been filled a month after it first appeared. Hackney Road has been closed to allow for repairs by Southern Water, who suspected a sewer pipe was the cause. Now, thanks to your incredible generosity, our sister radio station KMFM has been able to donate more than 9 tonnes of tins across Kent. Our aim was to replenish food banks across the county during the summer holidays. It can be a particularly difficult time for families, especially those who get free school dinners in term time. Well, Josh Rowlands is from the food bank in Faversham, one of those to receive your donations. He's been chatting to KMFM's Andy Walker.
The use of food banks is still a major part of the community, sadly. It's something that none of us want to see, but it's such an integral part of what happens within towns around Kent. And actually, the volunteers that give their time, they're the real key to this. And actually, the increased demand is going round, and you've got food banks that are spending thousands of pounds a week to top up on food. So for all the support you guys have given us, it's so appreciated.
And who are you seeing using food banks?
We're seeing everybody. We're seeing people that you would sort of never expect to see. We're seeing the doctors, the nurses, teachers. We're seeing these people that are in what you describe as a well-paid job, but they're just not getting the support, unfortunately, from the place they should be. So we're here to help those people in the times of crisis.
Do you know what? It's your fourth drop today, and everybody said the same thing. We're seeing people from all walks of life. What difference will these donations make today?
It'll make a huge difference. It allows us to continue the work we do within the people that are most in need in times of crisis. It allows us to help them, support them, giving them nutritious meals and actually helping not just them, but their families. When we give out food, we give enough food for 3 days. But the people that we see isn't just a single person. We see families of 2, 3, 4, 5. Last week, we had a family of 7 come through our door because they couldn't help themselves. This food is going to really help support them be able to eat over this summer period and also coming forward as well.
Brilliant. Is there anything else you want to add? Because obviously our listeners have just been incredible. Is there a message you want to say back to the KMFM listeners who were part of Tons of Tins?
Just thank you so much. Like, it doesn't seem like a lot of what you've done if you've donated a few tins or a few pounds, but that actually helps us so much. As food banks, we rely on the generosity of people to keep us running. We're not government funded. We're funded either by Trust or Trust in part or just by the support of local communities. So we can't thank you enough from the bottom of our hearts for the support you've offered us today.
And let's take a quick trip around the county to hear from others who are benefiting from your kind generosity. Emily Margot is from the Salvation Army Food Bank in Hythe. We then hear from Neil Charlick from Gillingham Street Angels. And finally, Louise, who's from Repton Community Trust.
We have like families come, single men and women that may have like lost their jobs or their mortgages and rates have all increased, so they haven't been able to pay for food because they're having to pay for things like that.
Oh, this is massive. I mean, to us, you think 25,000 people a month, they take 4 items a day, long of items, and they could take fresh food on top of that. That's 100,000 items of these tins and things we need a month. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. We can't do it without the support of people kind of getting behind us and helping us.
The last 12 months, we've had a 200% increase in our usage. So that includes people using our discounted community shop and our emergency food parcel service. So a huge increase over a year.
Kent Online Sport.
Just one in sport. If you missed the result yesterday, Kent lost to Northamptonshire in their final one-day cup game of the season. The Spitfires were beaten by 9 wickets at Canterbury. Their next match is against Worcestershire in the County Championship next Thursday. And don't forget to listen to tomorrow's podcast. We'll have a full preview to Gillingham's next game in League 2. Can they make it 2 wins out of 2 at the start of the season? They'll be travelling north this weekend to take on Morecambe following their opening game against Carlisle. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site today, you can check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.